Hi Debbie, it's Wednesday the 22nd of January and this is session three. How's your week been?
It's been great, Lynn. Thank you. Hello. I've had a really good week. Started off a little bit wobbly and then as the week's gone on, it's been much better. Thank you very much.
Okay, we weighed you. Mm-hmm. How was that?
I felt really confident on the way here. And then just as we got on the scales, I was like, ooh. And then as I got off the scales, I was like, yes! Yes! Yeah, quite a big loss for me, over £3.
Well done.
So very happy about that.
And tell me a bit about what happened on the way home from here last week.
Ah, on the way home last week, I was rather hungry and I had some chocolate biscuits that somebody had very kindly given to me and they happened to be in the front of the car. So I opened the packet of chocolate biscuits and pretty much ate the lot.
Was it a big or a small packet?
It was a reasonable size packet. It was little chocolate fingers, so it was a reasonable size packet that probably another person would have had maybe 4 or 5, and I had the whole packet. And yeah.
What made you eat the whole packet?
First of all, I was hungry. And then the next thing was that because I'd lost weight last week as well, I thought, it's not going to hurt if I eat these because I've got a whole nother week before I get weighed again and I can sneak them in and they won't really notice. But that's not usually how it works. Usually you do gain weight. But I thought, I could try and sneak them in without it noticing. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, I can have what I like. I'm not on a diet. But it was a binge.
Did you enjoy them?
I did to start with, and then at the end I was sort of, you know, 3/4 of the way through the packet, no, I wasn't enjoying them so much, and then it was kind of like, well, you've nearly eaten them all, so you might as well finish them off.
And how were you talking to yourself while you were going through that process?
It's like, I was saying, it doesn't matter. It won't notice. I've got a whole week to go. It'll be fine. And I shouldn't really, but I'm going to anyway. And I'm hungry. That was what prompted me first, was because I'm hungry. And then after a while, I wasn't so hungry because it's quite a long drive home. And then I was just, towards the end of the packet, I was just thinking, I shouldn't really be doing this. I shouldn't really be eating these. And then I sort of felt a little bit guilty, but not terribly guilty, and thought, right, that's it. I can just draw a line under it. But it was definitely a binge. And then I also thought, you've done this before, and you've done it before, and really you're defeating the object, and you know, it's silly to do it.
Okay, what sort of time are you eating the biscuits?
It was about 5:30 in the evening.
And when was the last time you'd eaten before that?
About 8:30 in the morning.
So you'd expected your body to go from 8:30 in the morning to 5:30 with no food?
Yeah.
Okay, and what sort of day had you had? Was it a day where you were just sitting around and you weren't using much energy?
No, I'd had a day where I'd been to my daughter's school in the morning. Then I'd been and ridden my horse, and then I'd been to see my parents, and then I saw you, and then after seeing you, I went to see another client, and it was after I'd seen the last client, that's when the biscuit binge happened.
So, from 8:30 in the morning, you put no food into your body, mm-hmm. You'd gone and done strenuous physical exercise.
Yeah.
You'd done a lot of mental work, working with your clients, plus being here.
Yeah.
And going to see your parents. And I would imagine when you were with your parents, you were doing jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
So you were expecting your body to run on empty.
Yes, I was. And I realised that. And I've fallen in, I've I've fallen into this trap of no lunching several times before, and that's when I do get this kind of like, oh, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I've not stopped, I've not eaten, and looking for something to eat. And you tend to go for the quickest thing, which is something that is either sugary or carby or something that isn't the right type of food, because let's face it, a stick of celery is just really not going to light your fire, is it?
And it's not actually going to balance your blood sugars, because your blood sugar has had nothing to support it from 8:30 in the morning to 5:30.
Correct.
So, you know, we're working on the premise here of listening to your body.
Mm-hmm.
Your body went for sugar because your blood sugars were so low.
Yeah, and I happened to have some. And I think even if I hadn't have had some on the car journey home, I would have been looking for it as soon as I got in the door. I would have been looking for something sugary and sweet, and knowing that the next thing I would have been doing would be cooking the dinner, yeah, I still would have been looking for the sugary and the sweet thing.
And that's your body telling you your blood sugar's too low.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you start to understand that, learn that and feel that,
mm-hmm.
then you're listening to the machine that is operating.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And this is what this is about. You know, your body's a machine. Mm-hmm. If you don't listen to how it operates and what it wants and what it needs to keep it balanced so that you can have the correct energy to do the jobs and the work that you need to do,
mm-hmm.
if you don't listen to that, then you run on empty, and then your body will just give you a craving. And it will be usually an unhealthy craving, because it just needs that thing it needs to bring your blood sugar level up.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think I've struggled with what I felt was something good to eat for lunch, and so that led on to me looking at different things. Which I'll tell you about in a minute. Later in the week, I've looked at different things because I realised that the mistake that I was making, I realised.
Good.
So, yeah.
And what happened the next day?
The next day, I had a major upset with one of my children, one of my daughters, and it really put me into a real big emotional state. We had a big argument, and after we'd finished sort of screaming at each other, which wasn't pleasant, she went off and did whatever, and I immediately reached for some chocolate as a comfort, because I was upset. So rather than, again, like I say, a stick of celery just wouldn't cut it, I reached for food. I don't smoke. I don't drink very often. So, you know, it's food that I would go for. Some people would go for a cigarette. I don't smoke, so.
Okay, so when you're looking to comfort yourself, is it always chocolate?
No, it isn't always chocolate, but I did have a box of chocolates left over from Christmas. It's still January and there are some left over. And so I literally opened the box of chocolates, and as I'm opening the box of chocolates, I'm realising what I'm doing. I'm realising that I'm eating them for comfort. I'm realising that, you know, I don't need to have them. Excuse me. And yet I still carried on opening the box of chocolates.
Okay. So there's another pattern that you've learned, that when you need comforting, you will go for something like chocolates.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, there's no right or wrong here. It's just learning your patterns, becoming consciously aware.
Mm.
So you've got choice. And it could be that you might go for one. It could be that you might go for the whole box.
Mm.
If you look at old patterns, what would you have done?
If I'd have been in an old pattern, I would have definitely eaten it. It's a two-layer box of chocolates, and they were Belgian chocolates, really gorgeous chocolates. I would have certainly eaten a whole layer of chocolates. I actually ate three.
So for you, is that noticing your pattern shifting and changing?
Yes, it is. And then a bit later in the day, I went back and I had another one. And then a bit later in the day, my youngest daughter was around. And I said, oh, I've got chocolates on the side. Would you like some? So I offered them to her.
Is that different?
Yes.
Okay.
They're my chocolates normally. I wouldn't give them away.
So you're consciously becoming aware of your patterns, but you're also consciously becoming aware of how your pattern is changing.
Yes. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So I don't know if I could have put them in the dustbin. I was happier to give them away.
Why would you want to put nice chocolates in the dustbin?
Well, I don't need to. I gave them to my daughter and she ate them. I've got so many children, I can give them away.
How would it feel to just have the chocolates there and have them open and have one when you actually really wanted it?
Well, that would be good. And before Christmas, when I was trying different diets, I was trying the alkaline diet, I did that. And it would be a treat to have a chocolate every evening. Well, not every evening, but most evenings I was having a chocolate every evening. And so that was good as well. So there's no reason, like you say, not to have. They're still there. The chocolates are still there.
And how does it feel to know they're still there and you've got a choice?
Yeah, they're fine. That's absolutely fine. Yeah, they've not been touched by me since Friday and it's now Wednesday. So that's... I've not even thought about them.
And would this have been the same in the past?
No, they would have been gone by now.
So are you noticing the changes in your patterns and the way you feel about food and having food around you?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of changes that have happened quite dramatically as well. As I said, we talked about looking at different foods at the beginning of this, and I have started to look at different things and different ways of eating are coming across. I'm coming across them. I'm not looking for some things I'm looking for, and other things are just coming up. The other day there was something about sugar detox. It was in the newspaper, and I started to read it, and that made so much sense to me about detoxing from sugar. I've looked at sugar before as being quite a volatile part of my diet and affecting me, and I could understand why I was so addicted to it. And so I started to look at that, and then from that I've started to look at healthier options and different food. I've actually, in the last 3 days, cut out sugar out of my drinks. So there's no sugar in tea. I'm not drinking coffee. And I was a coffee-holic. So there's lots of changes that I'm not necessarily going, oh, today I'm not going to drink coffee. I'm not thinking like that. I'm not wanting it. It's very strange. I can't say that I have, and I know it's just listening to my body and what my body is saying, because you just get into the routine. You wake up in the morning, you put the kettle on, you boil the kettle and you have your coffee. I don't need to wake up in the morning and boil the kettle and have coffee. I can have a different drink. It doesn't have to be, caffeine, and it doesn't have to be lactose. It doesn't have to be milk. It doesn't, you know, all of these things are changing. Really changing, really, really changing. I made something on Monday, lunch, that was really, really, it was a kind of like a quiche, but it doesn't have pastry, so it had spinach and eggs and bacon on the top and tomatoes and da 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 da. And it was really, really good. It was really tasty. And Lynn, you're a really good cook. And as I was biting into it, I thought, oh, God, this tastes so good. Lynn could have made it. Because I do rather like your cooking. So, yeah, lots and lots of changes that are not forced changes. I really am just listening to what my body wants.
How does it feel to really enjoy what you're eating?
It's incredibly different. It's lovely. It's almost like They're like new foods. They're like new things. They're new. Everything is tasting so different. Everything is tasting really lovely and enjoyable. It feels great. It feels really nice. That sounds a bit lame, but it's true.
And yet doing that, having foods that you like, mm-hmm. you enjoy the taste of,
yeah.
not being deprived of anything.
No.
And you're still losing weight. How does that fit in your belief system?
Well, it shouldn't, in theory, to my old belief system. And yet it is fitting in. Everything is fitting in. And it's fabulous. And I'm trying all these new things, things that I would never touch before. I mean, I made homemade hummus. That may not be like a big thing to anybody, but to me, the thought of, you know, whizzing up a chickpea is like, bleh. But I've made it and it was gorgeous. It was really lovely. And I had like some big pepper, bell pepper, chopping up a bit of pepper and just dipping into that. So instead of thinking, oh, it's time for a biscuit, it was like if I walked past the fridge and, you know, when you walk past the fridge in our house, it's like changing channel on the television. Everybody always opens the door and looks in to see if anything different's happened. It was dipping into that and that was just lovely, really nice. So, yeah, everything is good. And the belief is just so different, so different.
How's this affecting you in your working life?
That's changing as well, and there's a lot more thought about things, and there's a lot more I'm listening to myself a lot more. It's quite weird because we're doing food and yet other things are coming to the forefront, so I'm taking different choices, things. And realising that I don't have to stick to the regimented way of doing X, Y, Z. I can change and I don't have to do all of the stuff that, you know, everyone else is doing and it's not working. I can do what I want to do and it is working.
Good. Okay, so today we're going to be working on your belief structure again.
Yeah.
Making some more changes. Mm-hmm. And let's see what that gives us next week.
I'm excited. Yes.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Debbie.